Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
People were voting on what comedies they think are the best of all time. That's a tough list. I don't think you could put a definitive list because everybody's got their favorites. And, like, for example, on the list, and there's 20 of them here, but at number 11, which I think is way, way too far down the list, is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Wow.
Now,
over to the top 10?
Yeah. And I think it's the last comedy movie probably that I ever saw in a theater, I think. And if it wasn't, it's certainly the last movie that when I did see it in the theater, I was howling. I was openly laughing very, very hard. You know, and I don't know. I'll giggle at things now in movies and, you know, something will make me chuckle.
Right.
But openly laughing hard, I really want to believe that it was a...
I mean, it stands up, right? Like, this is still a movie they play at almost every holiday.
Yep. Oh, it's just amazing. So the top 10... at 10 is Caddyshack, then Young Frankenstein, My Cousin Vinny. That was terrific. It's
right.
Still a great movie. National Lampoon's Vacation at 7, Trading Places at 6, The Princess Bride at 5, Monty Python and the Holy Grail at 4. Now, I think The Life of Brian was a better Monty Python movie than The Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail is revered, though.
Yeah. Airplane at 3. Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is number 2.
Okay.
Blazing Saddles is number 1.
Wow, number 1.
Whew. Yeah.
And it had its time.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. Not a movie that stands up or that you could probably watch now.
No. You can just quietly and to yourself.
Right.
Sharing that with the kids. Happy Gilmore, as we had the story yesterday about Happy Gilmore 2 in, I guess, being written now by Adam Sandler. It shows up at 15.
Okay.
And I just saw this list, and you'll love this. So this comes from something called Golf Unplugged, whatever that is. Happy Gilmore 2, the cast. At this point, it is rumored that, of course, Adam Sandler will be Happy Gilmore once again. Christopher McDonald will be Shooter McGavin.
Okay.
Will Zalatoris will be Gilmore's caddy.
That's awesome.
You're going to love this. Tiger Woods as Chubbs Peterson Jr.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's rumored. Who knows if it'll actually happen.
I mean, it's a heck of a rumor to throw out there. I can't imagine Tiger as an actor. I mean, we talked earlier this morning about athletes who are not that dynamic.
Yeah. Don't let them do any driving scenes. Not even a cart. Sydney Sweeney as the cart girl.
Oh, wow. Okay, this can't be real.
And Paige Spiranek as the public relations lady.
Gotcha.
Now, no mention of Julie Bowen.
Well, I guess that would have been her role, right? Yeah. Public relations.
But weren't they dating? It's been a long time. Was there not some chemistry between her
and... Oh, that's right. Yeah, Happy and they end up together.
They do, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe she shows up as his wife and... But I love the fact that Will Zalatoris could be in it. And yeah, the Tiger Woods is Chubbs Peterson Jr. that's a great rumor. So, yeah, other movies on the list. Another National Lampoon's Animal House. Something called Shaun of the Dead, which I never saw. Blues Brothers, Ferris Bueller. I'm sure that was out. That was 86. When was Planes? 87. Okay.
Right.
Now, Coming to America. Eddie Murphy making a couple of spots there.
Yeah.
So, anyhow. Off the top of your head, outside of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, is there a comedy movie that you just remember so fondly and thinking it was the greatest?
Well, I was going to say Trading Places, but that's already on that list.
Right.
Of the newer ones, there's not a lot of Will Ferrell movies that make that list.
Not a lot of comedies have made it all anymore.
No, but I mean, we go back to, I guess, Elf isn't necessarily just deemed as a comedy.
Mm.
But I would have thought something of his would have made that list.
Mm-hmm.
Like Old School, Something About Mary.
Ah, that was a great one. Yes, that's a classic. Yeah, you could go on and on and on, mm-hmm. and on, right? But, there you go. Sydney Sweeney. As the cart girl, I'm in. I gotta go, help my son and girlfriend do one last move out of the condo today.
Oh, they're still moving?
Yeah.
Well, how big was this condo?
37,000 square feet. Well, they had enough stuff in it to fill 37,000 square feet.
Think the top of Trump Tower.
Yeah. Yeah, just a couple of more things. Really,
like couches, big stuff?
There's a big chair that they tried to donate or give away, but nobody seems to want it, so it's probably going to the dump.
Okay. Well, so you can just throw that off the balcony then.
I suggested throwing a few things off their balcony when we were moving them. I tried to jump at one point, but they held me back. Yeah, so that's my day. I saw photos of you last night. Something shocking, hanging out with hockey people?
That's right. The Oshawa Generals wrapped up the regular season. They'd won 12 straight games, which is the first time they've done that in almost 40 years. To win the Eastern Conference title and then now head into the playoffs this weekend. So they wrapped up the season with their awards ceremony. And we presented those last night, emceed that. It was fun.
So there's a chance you might get another ring you don't deserve?
Here's hoping.
I can put two of them on now.
That's right. We'll get the full display, every knuckle. That's what we're looking for.
You don't wear it anymore. You were donning that thing for a while.
When they first gave it to me, it was quite exciting and thankful for it. Now it's in a display case.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hockey Hall of Fame, where I'll be long. No, it's in the
cleaning in the crew at home. The Tribute Community Center deserve that ring more than you do.
Listen, yeah. It came as a shock, and I realize now that there it is a thing, broadcaster rings. The guys in the NHL got the same one. The Tampa Bay guys got the same with the whole, like, the cases now. They are quite insane. When I look at mine, it looks almost small, and it is a nugget under hand.
Well, I saw it.
But when you see some of the ones that they're handing out at the NHL and NFL, it is ridiculous. The size of these things and the amount going into them.
If your career ever leads you to the point where you get one of those, you are going to be just unflipping barrels.
I'll be on your door.
Look at this. Look at this.
I'll be calling you to come help move it.
It'll be like an engagement ring. You won't be able to stop showing it off. You'll host parties for people to come and view it.
Right. Well, listen.
Oh, no, you won't host a party. You won't do that.
No. I'll have it at your house.
Don't talk to me. Just talk to the ring.
That's right. You gotta kiss it. I'll be asking you to kiss it.
Yeah. I will steal it.
Right.
I will pawn it.
We were at the Brock Street Brewery yesterday.
I saw that. Yeah.
Nice. Always a nice spot. Anywhere you're next to a brewery works out well.
Yeah, but yourself a drink or two?
I did.
Good for you. Tell some hockey jokes. Nobody laughed because, you know. You have to have a personality to do that.
Oh, wow.
Well, you got to admit, in the world of sport, I think in the world of anything, if somebody's really great at anything, be it science or sports, whatever their brain and their body does to make them that good at that thing takes away something else.
Right.
Like, that was always the thing about nerds, right?
Mm.
They didn't seem to have a lot of personality. They were very just focused, tunnel vision on, you know, what they do and what they know.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably true of a lot of sports figures as well. They have not needed to work that personality muscle because their sports ability has spoken for them the entire time.
Well, I think internally, inside, like, the team atmosphere, they're probably, you know, revered, well-spoken leaders. And they do step up and speak. I think for a lot of them, you know, talking about themselves, and especially in front of crowds or in the media, is not what what they set out to do, right?
Right.
They want to let their talking be done on the playing field kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, you see, I remember, like, the first that I really got to know, because it's when I started, was John Tavares. And you could see in him, like, early on, he'd have some good chats. But then, you know, there's media training that they go through their agents or whatever, and they start to learn to okay, what are the things that I'm going to have to say that make me a better prospect or more seem more like a team oriented guy ahead of a draft right. kind of thing. And you could almost see that training take place through the couple of years that he was here. And by the time, you know, we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, it's, you know, off the air, it's a different guy than it is on the air because he's, you know, focused on, okay, what are the right things that I have to say? Much like when they get on the ice, it's like, all right, what are the right things I have to do here?
Yeah, no, and I've never really had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with hockey players or at like that kind of level. But I would assume even when they are off camera and off mic, when it's all of them around a table, you kind of see it even with Full Swing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they assume to be funny or... Like, there's one episode where they're just shooting golf balls at a porta potty. And one guy's in the porta potty and they're shooting golf balls. And they're just howling. They just think it's the funniest thing because they're all stunted frat boys. Oh, that's so funny. Nobody's going to confuse them with a stand-up comedy, comic of the year.
No, but I think that's just a different aspect of their day. Is completely different to anything that you or I could fathom in the sense that
sure.
they get up and all they have think about and concentrate on is hitting a golf ball. And they do that every day of their lives.
Oh, I saw Brooks Koepka's wife. He's got something else to concentrate right. and focus on, keeping her happy.
Right. Well, yeah, at one point before Liv, I had to go out and play well in order to do that. And I think in hockey and other sports, kind of the same thing. Like it's now a year-round focus on, okay, it's even off-season. I got to take 2 weeks off, we're gonna go have some fun, and then I'm, you know, back to training all summer long, getting ready for the season. And I think what people forget, we tend to forget all the time when it comes to, you see the stars of the league and those ones we focus on the most, but it is such a business and such a grind where every day for the guys at the bottom tier, they're fighting for their job, like fighting to stay at the NHL level because it's a 100% pay increase between the NHL level and the AHL level.
Right.
And so every year, every summer, they've got to be focused on training camp coming up because which kid are they bringing in that's going to try and take my job and drop me down to the level below?
Yeah, I think that's what I, just said about being laser focused. And so it just kind of gets in the way of, being interesting at all. Almost 3 in 4 millennial parents, so almost all, think they're currently doing a better job with their kids than their own parents did with them. Now, I would say that's probably true of not just millennials. I would look back at my parenting skills and think they were a tad better than my parents. But I also realize and understand that there was probably both negative and positive things that I did and my parents did. And
right. Well, isn't this also how we got to where we are now with the level of parenting and involvement?
Yeah.
Because at each generational step, we're like, well, we're going to be a little more involved and a little more of a friend to our kids than my parents were to me.
I think there's something that has changed that I believe is a bit of a negative in that as much as it's great to be present in your child's life, which is one of the things that millennials parents believe, they're almost all claim that they're always try to prioritize their kids over everything else. I think that might be a bit of a negative in that your children learn from just watching and observing. And if they see their parent being an adult and getting up and going to work and having a social life and having activities and doing things and learning and maybe taking on new projects or trying to advance themselves in the workplace, they see that as, okay, that's what adults do. But so many parents, I think, now become a parent, and I've seen this in other, it's not just this generation, I've seen it within my own family, who are people who have had their kids and raised them. But the minute a kid comes, that is it. Lights out, show over, just raising this kid, get the bob cut, and don't carry. There's no friends anymore. There's no social activity.
Right.
There's no going out. It's just on the kid. And that's probably not healthy for you, nor the kid. Because now you're just showing them, hey, this adult's just here to cater to me constantly.
Right. Well, and I think, too, we have a need. Many have this need to protect from all disappointments and rejections. Mm. And that's why, part of the involvement is there. We think, they're on top of all situations and in the schools and in the locker rooms and trying to insulate them from all possible disappointments in life.
Yeah.
Where that's part of living and growing and learning, right? Yes.
And nobody likes to see their children, fail or get upset or get their heart broken. I mean, when your kids become teenagers and they start dating, there will come a point when one of them will get heartbroken. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to break up with them. And you feel terrible for them.
Right.
But you got to let them go through that process.
Yes.
So gentle parenting, just as you just mentioned, guiding children through the decision-making process without the parent setting demands and rules.
Mm-hmm.
Being open about mental health. This is what millennials think they're doing better than their parents. They said, my parents just said to buck up and get over it.
But right.
Millennial parents think discussions about mental health and emotional well-being are important. And, of course, they are. I would tend to feel, though, that there is so much of that going on that a lot of times a lot of parents seem to impose mental health issues on their kids.
Right.
I mean, my youngest son, David, is teaching at college. He's only got like 8 kids in the class, and 5 of them have exemptions.
Right.
Or
Accommodations.
I mean, we can't all be, on some sort of spectrum. Maybe we all are on some sort of spectrum.
Mm.
But I sometimes think it's self-imposed.
Right.
Well, there's got to be something wrong with him. He doesn't chew properly.
What's he teaching?
I blame it all on the peanut allergy thing from a decade or two ago. Oh, don't here we go again. You must admit it has led to a lot of panic and fear over a lot of things. Remember your best friend Momo?
Right.
Who you were convinced was coming to take your children?
I wasn't, but had they seen something like that? But the problem is that you also get this behavior that's happening out in the world now where people are just trying to get attention through negative means.
Right.
Right. And social media is, a captive audience for that. Interesting that Florida, of all places, is the one today they're talking about this social media ban for kids under the age of 14.
Oh, really?
Banning all social media for kids under 14 and requiring parental permission to sign up on for account when for 14 and 15-year-olds.
Well, I would sign off on
Florida,
that.
Which is the last bastion of freedom, is the one shutting it down for kids.
That's interesting. And I have not become a grandparent, and I don't know that I ever will become a grandparent. Neither of my boys seem to have any interest in having children, and maybe that's a good thing because a third of millennial parents say they have to deal with their own parents questioning their new age methods a lot. And I sense that I would try my best to bite my tongue.
Right.
But I would be very bad at it.
And let me clarify this. The reason I say, oh my, here we go, when you bring up the peanut allergy is because I really do feel that the peanut allergy is one not to be played around with. Because there are kids that legitimately have a peanut allergy that leads to death.
Yeah, look, right? I gave my kids peanut butter sandwiches in the face of everything. I followed the rules.
I understand that. But what I'm saying, I don't disagree with you where all of these accommodations that come out, all of a sudden there's a kid that's allergic to his own tears, so we can't make him cry, right?
There are
ones that are just way out of left field. The reason I shake my head at the peanut one is because I do understand that, there are parents out there who say, my kid's not allergic to peanuts. I'm doing whatever the hell I want.
Yeah,
right?
And I wasn't one of those parents.
And peanut butter is just so easy to make as a sandwich, but it, you know, it's one of those that can kill a kid. And it's really an interesting one, like one that you can't really mess around with. And but that being said, I've seen so many restrictions on a school lunch now that it's like a quiz every morning on what the hell you can actually send.
And this is, I think, my point, and you're just making it as well. Yes, of course, there's children who can die from peanut allergies. And yes, of course, we didn't hear about it for a long time. Then it became a thing. But it did open a door to a lot of other stuff, as you just said.
Right.
And I'm just claiming that there are some parents, maybe more than those who have the actual allergy, who want to claim this because we want to share and tell our social woe, our woes. Oh, look at us. My son, as you said, allergic to his tears.
Right.
Oh, no, he's not. You're just looking for sympathy and attention.
Hmm.
Yes, there are some kids who can die from peanuts. And yes, you shouldn't send peanut butter sandwiches to school. But a lot of you are full of BS. That's what I'm saying. There's a new term that's trending called sunshine guilt. It's loosely related to other trendy terms like FOMO, bed rotting, and hurkle darkling. This is a Scottish term for staying in bed when it's time to get up.
Okay.
Hurkle darkling. And the sunshine guilt is when we've had bad weather and then it's sunny. And you just don't feel like going out.
Ah.
See people living their lives. They're out walking their dogs. They're roaming around. And you're just standing in the house, scratching yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Staring out the window.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's been times when you look at the end of the day, and boy, I wasted a good one. Really, really. Yeah. And especially when you get these, like, spring-like days where all of a sudden it's 17 and sunny in the middle of winter. You think, yeah, I probably should have done something with that day.
I think it's just, we're all probably guilty of this. You know, when the summer arrives and we're so excited and it gets into like late April and early May and it starts really warming up, and we think, it'll be better tomorrow. I'll go out next week. I got all summer.
Yeah, but then the end of summer comes and you get that kind of summer regret thinking, oh man, we're just about out of the warm days and I really didn't do anything.
Yeah, I often have big, big plans heading into the summer. I got a bicycle once because I was going to ride it all the
time. That's right, yes.
Yeah, it's just collecting dust in the garage. I should probably just sell it. I have a pool, for crying out loud, and I look at it and I think, get your lazy arse in there and do some laps.
Mm.
And I don't. I just sit there slugging Fireball whiskey at noon. Trying to knock myself out and put the demons back.
Yeah, I would think pool regret was one of those things. I mean, we have the cottage, and a lot of times at the end of the summer, you look and go, man, yeah, we only got up there a handful of times. Regret, what else did we do with our time instead of using it?
Yeah, soon the boys will have their hand out saying, can I have the keys for the cottage?
Yeah.
I'll take my buddies up. I think it's any, like if you live near a golf course or if you have a pool or you live near Wonderland and you think to yourself, I'm going to go get a season's pass and I'm going to be at Wonderland every day.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get my kids season passes and they're going to be there every day because they can walk to it. Or I'm going to be golfing every day and we just don't.
Yeah. And we've gone through that. I mean, we get a chance to golf quite often, but then there are times where I don't go play and all after the end of the week, I go, man, I probably should have played once or twice. Or at the end of the season, I think, man, I had the opportunity to play a couple more times and not pay for it. I probably should have in that.
We went out once a month.
I'll see guys who have a membership. And they'll be like, oh, I played 75 times this year. I played 36 a day, every day of the week. I'm like, you're crazy.
I know, that's too much. We went through that early on, certainly during COVID, when the lovely Maria wasn't working. We were golfing way too much, and I was getting visibly upset. Because I only have so much patience for so many things.
Mm.
It's like when Maria, when she's into something, it's all in. And I remember where did we end up? Down in Ohio. It's Cedar Point or something.
Okay.
It's a big, massive amusement park.
Yep.
Right there on the lake. And they got like just a ton of different roller coasters and rides. And at one point in our life, she was hugely into them. And so I had to, of course, be into them because I'm trying to be into her. And I don't know. We're on this thing like all day. And at one point she looked over at me and I was just going green. Like I had just had enough. And finally she folded. And I said, it takes me almost barfing everywhere. I'm begging you to stop. But you won't have it. I have broken down like John Daly in a bunker on a golf course. And she still wants to play another 18. Here's something I didn't know about the Price is Right. They're totally prepared in the event that a contestant has some bladder issues. A former producer says they have a system in place in case someone peed their pants.
Really?
They said they never saw it happen, but there are curtains and a blow dryer and a pair of sweats just in case. We've got to get on with the show.
I don't know what that says about the Price is Right. The excitement that they're expecting, the age or demographic.
I think it's got a lot to do with that.
Plan to deal with.
Is it still young? I haven't seen the Price is Right in forever. Is it still fairly young people? There was always, you always had the girl with the well-endowed running down the aisle, I remember as a kid.
Wow, that was Bob.
That was Bob doing his
getting
thing.
Getting his thrill. The kissing bandits up top there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's young people who still.
I think it's still a mix. It's right. I know for my age group, that was the show you watched when you stayed home from school, right?
Oh, mine too. Yeah,
grandmother came over to watch, babysit you for that day, and it was The Price is Right all day long.
Well, you liked the models. That was what we were.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were enjoying. I found in my little mind, there was that one redhead I can't remember. Always wanted to go on a game show. Always thought something like Family Feud would be up my alley.
Right.
I'm just smart enough, maybe, to win at Family Feud. Like, I could never do Jeopardy or anything like that.
Way, I know a friend of ours, there is, his in-laws were on the Family Feud, and I think they got called back for another one.
Yeah. It would be tough picking your family members. You know, you got the one cousin Eddie who just lives under the sink, and you don't want to ask him. But
is that if you had a choice game show you'd go on, what would it be?
It'd be The Feud.
It'd be The Feud.
I think so. That right. Or the classic Match Game. Alec Baldwin was hosting it there for a while until that whole gun thing happened.
Yes, that thing.
But I think The Feud.
Okay. Yeah,
you?
The kids want me to go on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, really?
It's one of those when I'm sitting at home, I'm brilliant at it. Under the lights.
Yeah.
It could be a different story.
The Dating Game. That's the one I want to go on.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.